Hello, and welcome back to Paper Trade Radio. This is Erin Lincoln, your hostess. Today's date is February 25th, 2011, and this is episode 2. Hope you have your coffee ready to sip and enjoy, or are lucky enough to be stuck in traffic. Yes, I said stuck in traffic, because I've got two great interviews for you today. First up, we are going to learn some inside information with Nicole Heady about how those lovely stamps are made. It's very secretive stuff. We're talking high-level security clearances. Well, not really, but pretty darn close. Then we'll be talking to Miley Bells about her new stamp collection and what it is like to get up off the ground as a stamp designer. It's a very busy episode, so stay tuned. First up, I have a special request. Actually, it's something I'm planning on doing every podcast if the participation is good and we can keep it going. I'm going to ask you a question. It could be anything that falls under the vast umbrella of stamping and paper crafting, topic-wise. Think about it. Form some opinions, and I'm of the personal opinion myself that the more opinionated others are, the more interesting the conversation, and call into our Google Voice account, which is 301-799-8338 with your answer. The next podcast, which will wrap up production on March 3rd, so call in soon, will feature a montage of our viewers' opinions on the chosen topic, including my own. The question today is pulled from the interview I did last week with Leanne, where we were talking about giving honest feedback to stamping friends about their projects. I'm not talking randomly. I mean, no soul-crushing from out of the blue, but rather in an environment where open and honest critiquing is welcome and asked for. The reason I'm bringing this up is twofold. I've seen people in the forums ask for others' opinions about certain projects, and I've noticed people who say they'd like to improve their stamping. And really, there's only a couple ways to do this, and one of them is having friends who are giving you honest feedback and critiques. But, and this is a big but here, I think as women, throwing my own kind under the bus, we tend to tiptoe around giving honest advice on something that is up to artistic interpretation. And plus, you know, it's really personal, and you don't want to say maybe you want to do something different when, you know, someone put a lot of love and tender care into something. It's kind of a really tricky topic. So my question for you is this. Do you give honest advice about stamping, and is it something that you ask for yourself? And if you do, what are the results? Remember, call into 301-799-8338 and leave your answer. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Next up, we have the grand dame herself, Miss Nicole Heady, who is here to talk to us about how the stamps are made. Now, it's a super secretive process. And we have some guidelines about what we can and cannot talk about, but I'm sure you'll find it very interesting to hear about how the stamps are made. Just kind of put your mind in the mindset of, you know, the show How It's Made on the Discovery Channel. It should be very interesting. So, hey, Nicole.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you doing? You moved into your new house?
I just moved in this weekend, still getting settled, but we're getting there, so... All good.
And you're talking to us, so that's great. Thank you for taking the time to call and talk to
My
us
pleasure.
About the stamps. So, what I understand that this whole process of making these photopolymer stamps is super duper secretive. It's like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, right?
It totally is. Our current manufacturer actually won't even allow us to go and see the actual process taking place. And I know manufacturers are very super secretive between each other, discussions they have with each other, not to give away each other's secrets. And it's really pretty fascinating.
So can you take me through the process from, like, when you hand off the designs, what happens?
We actually send two sets of images to the manufacturer. One set is the actual images that you see when you stamp an image. We call it the artwork. And then the second set of files is actually the base files. And it's basically a large black blob that follows the exterior outline of the image. And this ends up being the pattern for them to make the base behind the image so that you can use it as a stamp. When they get these files, they turn them into what we call negs or negatives, and they pretty much put the negatives on the machine, and they pour photopolymer down underneath the negative, and light shoots through the negative, and the areas the light goes through, which is where the images are and such, cooks the photopolymer, only in those areas. And then the rest of the photo, it literally
cooks
it at a high temperature.
Is it more, when it's a high temperature, is it more like hair gel, or is it more like Jell-O? Jell-O is a little bit more firm.
Don't actually know for sure, but if I were to guess, I would say it's probably similar to hair gel because it has to be fairly liquid in order for it to be pourable.
No ear bubbles, I would imagine, like hair gel.
Well, that's true. So the areas get cooked through the negs, and the rest of the photopolymer is washed away, and all that's left is the actual stamps. And they do this in two cycles. They do the base files first, the big blobs underneath the images.
Mm-hmm.
They cook those, rinse the photopolymer away, and then they line up the images on top of the blobs and cook a second time, and that places the images on top of the bases. So it's actually a two-step process.
Okay.
And then they're pretty much done.
Are like the bases and the images, are they two pieces that are glued together, or is it just kind of a layered thing, like the first layer cooks and then maybe there's another layer of, let's call it gel?
It's definitely done as layers. They're not glued together. But they do cook them separately. And cook probably isn't the best word to use, but that's what I'm going with here. So
we're going with the vernacular.
Yes, exactly.
The slang term, they're being cooked.
Yes, exactly. So they cook the bases first, and then they put the images on top of those and cook those separately, and then the excess is rinsed away, and you have stamps ready to use.
Now, can they reuse the gel that isn't, like, you know, when you coat chocolates in a candy factory, they just reuse that chocolate that didn't get on the candy? Do they do the same with the gel?
They do not, because once that photopolymer becomes a certain temperature, it cannot be reused. So once it's poured out at a certain level, they can't reuse it. And also, I think it's mixed with a little bit of a rinsing agent, like water or something like that, when they rinse it. So therefore, it's contaminated and can't be reused.
That the stamps get made at one time? Like, how many copies are on the negative?
It's four.
Four.
So, like, for example, one of our $15 sets is considered a single stamp set, and there's four of those on a sheet. It's an 8x12 sheet.
So they
make four 4x6 sets.
You're keeping them very busy. I can only imagine how many sets of stamps they have to make every month.
It's a lot. We are their biggest client right now. We keep them pretty much busy all month long between getting ready for a new release and keeping up with our reorders. They're kept very, very busy.
Okay. So once they're cooked, the top layer and the bottom layer, and the excess gels rinsed away or whatever, are they directly on the little acetate sheets, or do they get transferred?
Yep. They're made directly on those acetate sheets.
Oh, that's so
they do put the light, if you ever notice, there's like a very thin layer of film put on the image side of the stamps when you get them. And that is placed on there after all the cooking is done and everything. But it's made on the thicker acetate sheet at the facility.
And so do you get the 8x10 sheets at paper tray cut up into sections, or do you get, like, a full sheet and then you guys cut them up?
In the old days, in the old days, we used to cut them down ourselves. But now, because of the huge volume that we're ordering, we just pay them extra to cut them down for us. And, for example, we have the mini sets now, and those are 8 to a sheet. So those we definitely pay to have them cut down because that's even more cutting to do. So
Yeah, I mean, you guys stuff all the little stamp packages, too. You roll up the directions.
Yes.
And you. So that's plenty of work. And you also put on, like, those belly bands, right, around the containers?
Yes, yes. All of that's done in-house. We actually have one girl that pretty much does that herself, all by herself. Her name's Brittany. So every time you guys open a stamp box, you can thank Brittany because she's our resident stamp packager. She does pretty much all of them herself. So
she has some books on tape or something when she's doing it. That's a lot of work.
It is. It is. It is. We keep her pretty busy.
Okay, so we know how they've been made and how they get the paper tray. Now I want to know, how do we properly care for our stamps, Nicole?
Well, the first thing you should do is you should never, ever store your stamps in direct sunlight. They should be kept in a cool, dry place. And as far as cleaning them, there's not really anything specific, that you need to make sure that you clean them with. Different people have different methods. The only thing you should remember is that you should not use Bazon brand cleaner on the stamps because it will cause deterioration over time. But other than that, a lot of the people use, including myself, just use baby wipes to wipe and clean.
Yeah, that's what I use. I have plenty of that around here.
And I'm sure you do, Erin. And you want to try to make sure that they're alcohol-free because alcohol can dry out your stamps. But other than that, I use baby wipes. And for really stubborn stains, like black inks and such, I turn to Ultra Clean if it really needs, you know, a good scrubbing or something like that. And the Ultra Clean will pretty much get rid of anything, any kind of residue or anything like that.
Now, I've seen a lot on the forums, and I think it's important that we reiterate, if your stamps are stained, they do not affect the performance. It's okay if they're a little stained from ink, right?
Yes, totally, but, totally. And it actually, we call it, you know, a sign that that set has been loved, if it's
well
you know,
used.
Stained or whatnot. Yeah, it's well used. Inks will stain, you know, more severely than others. But if you keep on top of the cleaning, usually the staining will be pretty minimal.
You know, and to be honest with you, especially with, like, lining up dyes and things that need patterns that need to be lined up, it's almost better, in my opinion, if they're stained a little bit because it's easier to see where you're stamping down.
I agree.
Yeah, and then will they ever yellow on us?
Our specific stamps will not yellow. There are some things you could do that could possibly cause that over the long term, and that is storing them in direct sunlight. If they're in direct sunlight for, you know, several months, yellowing could eventually occur. I've heard through the grapevine that there are some black inks on the market that can possibly cause a little bit of staining as well, that appears yellow on the surface. But the actual photopolymer turning yellow should not happen with our stamps.
Okay, so if you, like, just leave them out, like, overnight or in front of a window for a day, that's really no big deal. That's kind of minor, right?
Yes, totally.
Yeah, because mine get left out on my work table, which is in front of a window, but I do store them away when I'm not using them.
The only reason why yellowing would occur in our stamps is because the sun will break down some of the chemicals that are in the photopolymer. As long as they're not exposed to that in the long term, you'll be all set.
Well, there you go. Now everybody knows. You can store them a little bit, but then put them away. Okay, we're going to let Nicole get back to unpacking, and this is a really neat conversation because I learned a whole lot, and I hope you did too. I'll see you later, Nicole.
Okay, thank you so much, Erin.
Next up, we've got PTI's newest stamp designer, Miley Bells. She's cute as a button and has more talent than you can shake a stick at. Clean and simple is her style, and there's no mistaking a Miley card. You can see it a mile away, which is great because she's very unique and fresh, which, of course, has me salivating over the idea of her stamps. The first step stamp set is being released in March, so we only have to wait a couple more days for the preview and then the countdown posts. And I can hardly wait. I don't know what it's all about yet. I can't wait to see it. I'm very excited. So let's say hello to Miley.
Hey, Erin.
Miley just told me that she's sitting in her truck in the Michaels parking lot talking to us, which is kind of funny. So I have a lot of questions for you, Miley. Tell us how the idea of designing stamps, how did you get going on that? Was that something that they approached you about, like Nicole, or you were interested in and you took the lead on?
Well, actually, it was it's an opportunity that us as a design team are given. We're able to submit stamp designs or stamp ideas once the time rolls around. But, yeah, this got me thinking of the possibility, and I thought I would just give it a try and see what happens.
Now, did you have to learn how to illustrate on the computer, or was that something you already knew how to do?
No, this was all new to me. I picked up the program. Mm-hmm. And had to pretty much start from scratch. I had no idea how to work the program, just kind of worked by ear, did some research online, and just kind of figured it out. And I kind of feel like even now, I only know a fraction of the program.
Mm-hmm.
And this program is really amazing, and there is so much that I do not know as of now, but I know enough to get me started anyways.
To mess around a little bit. And, you know, as you probably design more and more, you'll get more uncomfortable with it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've learned a lot as each set has progressed. I've learned.
It's kind of like sink or swim.
Yes, exactly.
So, style-wise, how are you going to describe your new stamps?
Style-wise, let's see. I'd say I pretty much stayed true to my simple style and kind of kept them clean and modern, kind of basic stamp sets that can be used in a variety of ways. I mean, most of these sets, the possibilities are pretty much endless with these sets.
And I'm sure with your style, I mean, I can't wait to see them. I think there's going to be some twists there that maybe you don't even realize are there because it's so natural to you. But for the
I'm looking forward to seeing what everybody does with them and what comes out with this set that I had never even imagined.
I can't wait to get them. I can't wait to get them, really. So how is your anticipation now counting down? So what's today? We're talking actually on February 23rd. This podcast isn't going to air for a couple days, and the countdown doesn't start till the 5th. So you have about 2 weeks until you get your hands on your brand-new stamp set. Are you excited?
Yeah, I am. I'm excited. The anticipation is building, especially since I don't actually have the set in my hands, and I can't play with them yet, but I've already got a bunch of ideas sketched out. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to play around with this set.
Is that probably going to be the first one you bust into when our design team box comes?
Well, probably.
We don't know what the rest of them are. Yet. We're probably within the next couple of days we'll see the whole preview for March. So, like, Miley and I don't know yet what the March stamp sets are going to be. So you don't know when they come, but if you know something's coming that you designed, I can't imagine how exciting it would be. I'd be on over the top excited.
No,
so,
we need to see it in person.
Did you ever think that you'd be doing something like this?
Previously, no. I had never thought about it. That may have crossed my mind, but I never thought it was a possibility. But since the opportunity arose through Paper Tray Ink, I couldn't resist. I just had to give it a try, just see if anything would come of it, and if not, it would be no big deal. But it's really progressed, and I'm actually surprised by it, but excited.
So, you know, it's funny because, you know, we're both working for a stamp company, and me, never in my wildest dreams did I think I would be doing this. I have a degree in animal science and agriculture of all things. What's your background, and how far have you come from that, because I've come a long way. I'm like, nah, I'm not going to vet school anymore. I'm stamping.
Well, I got married at an early age, and I had some bank jobs and some accounting jobs. Last
mm-hmm.
job was an accounting job, but my...
And this is probably a lot more fun
that I
than
was
that.
Looking forward, yeah, but my future that I was looking forward to was just becoming a mom, staying home, being home with the little ones, and it happened, and then I was looking for something to do, and stamping came up, and it was just the perfect niche. You know, kind of worked with the whole mom thing, and while my son was napping, I was able to get stamping done, and it's amazing how far I've come. Okay.
You know, that's really funny that you say that, Miley, because I got into stamping because I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom, and I wanted to find a way to work and be home at the same time. So it seems like we have the same motivation, which is great.
Yeah.
It's really, it's a nice job to be able to, you know, you get to do the stay-at-home mom bit, and, you know, you get to exercise your mind a little bit at the same time, because it's a creative challenge every day.
Oh, it definitely is, and it's nice when you can have that creative challenge. That's actually something you enjoy, something you take pleasure in.
Okay, so how about a kind of a, just a fun question. What's your favorite PTI stamp set?
Oh, my favorite? That is a tough question, but the one that always sticks out in my mind the most is In Bloom.
You know, you've used that a lot. You're really good at using that stamp set.
No, especially after I first got that set. I probably wore everybody out by posting.
No, but
so
it's funny because I...
with that stamp design on, you know, on my cards, on my blog.
It's funny because I should have known the answer to this question. Of course, it's In Bloom. I see you use it all the time, but it's good because you... you're really getting your use out of your stamps, and you're showing people that you can use it more than just a handful of times. You can, you know, you need to use these things 20, 30, 40 times to really get the full enjoyment out of them.
You do. The more you use them, the more potential you see out of your stamps as well.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll let you get shopping at Michael's.
Thanks.
Get some adhesive or something.
Yeah, that's what I need, actually.
That's what we always need. All right, I'll talk to you later, and I'm looking forward to seeing your stamps. Yay!
Thank you, me too.
All right, bye.
Bye, Erin.
Now for what is my favorite part of our program, and it's when you, our listeners, call into our Google Voice account at 301-799-8338. I know I sound like a broken record, but I really want you to call, and you leave questions for design team members, Nicole, Jen, or any of our stamp designers, and what I do is I forward the message to whomever you'd like to ask the question to, and they call in, and they give you the answer to your question. So it's a really neat back and forth interaction, and when it's all put on the podcast, it's really a lot of fun. So I think we have a couple callers. Let's take it to the phones.
Hello, Paper Tray Radio. This is Ginny Angieski calling from Everett, Washington. I go by Ginger Snapper on the forum, and I had a question regarding the planning of this and design of the stamp sets. I understand from last week that there is a yearly planning meeting, but I was curious if there's room for designers that maybe come up with what they think is a great idea, if there's trends. Do they have the opportunity to go to Nicole and say, hey, I got this great idea. Can we include it this year? Just kind of wondering about the time frame. Thanks so much. Bye.
Hi, Jenny. Melissa Bickford here. Great question. Even after the yearly stamp meeting where Nicole, Julie, and Jane choose which stamp sets will be released and a schedule has been put in place for the year, Nicole is always open to hearing any ideas or suggestions that we have. If our idea is something she thinks will be a great addition to Paper Tray, then we'll move forward with it. But because the year is pretty much planned out in advance, it may have to be put on hold until a new schedule can be found and the new product can be squeezed in. Also, depending on what the new suggestion might be, whether it be a new stamp set, a die, a pattern paper collection, or a completely new product, she may find a certain month would be better to release it than another. So we definitely have the opportunity to share what we think would be a great product with Nicole. It just depends on the schedule and the timing. I hope that helps to answer your question. Thanks so much, and have a great day.
Hi, this is Alice from Newburgh, Indiana, also known as Mama Lady Stamper, and with a question for most of the designers. After you stamp everything for a new release, do you go back and use all those stamps again? Or I know a lot of sentiments are used a lot, time after time, but what do you do with the stamp sets? You just keep them? Or, and I know a lot of you, different companies, do you just use what you have for the release and then put them up? Or do you use them again? That's my question. Thanks. Have a great day.
Hi, Paper Trayers. It's Melissa Phillips speaking here. I just wanted to call in and say hello and also answer a question that someone posed about what we do with our stamps after the release is over, some of our older stamps. And my personal feeling is I love them so much I keep them. I haven't gotten rid of any of my past paper tray ink stamps. I do pull them out, and I use them quite often. I think the fun thing about paper tray stamps is that they're adaptable to any style and even any theme that you may have. So they don't go out of style. You just get to keep reusing them and making them your own. Sometimes I wonder why I'm so fascinated with stamping, and I think it's just because every time I use a stamp, I can make it unique. I can change it. It can be different from the last time I used it based on the colors I use, whether I decide to paper piece or just make it really simple, whether I decide to add color, glitter, accents, gems, things like that. So I hold on to them. I love my stash. My little girl loves my stash. And one of these days, my husband will have to clear out my scrap room when I'm old and gray, and I'll still have them then, too. So I hope you enjoy yours as much as I enjoy mine, and it was wonderful to talk to you. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Jessica calling from Boston, Massachusetts. I have a question for anyone on the Paper Tray Ink team. I have recently started a blog, and I've been extremely dissatisfied with the quality of my pictures. So I was wondering if anyone had any tips or pointers about photographing their artwork for their blogs.
Hi, Jessica. Lisa Johnson here with Paper Tray Ink. What a great question. I know how important it is to have those photographs truly reflect all of that hard work that you've put into a project. And there really are a few great tricks that I've learned through the years that have greatly improved my photographs. A decent camera is the first place to start. I started out with a little snap-and-shoot model, and I made sure that it had at least a 10-by optical zoom, and that allows for great detail up-close shots. I moved up to a Canon Rebel XSI a few years back because I really wanted to step up my family photos a notch, and I love the results. So there's one way to do is just get a good camera. Secondly, lighting and staging, they play a great role in achieving good card photos as well. There are a few ways that you can do this. One is that you can purchase a photo tent with intense lights to photograph everything. It's fairly easy to use, reasonably priced, and easy to find. Another way is to set a scene with props and use natural light. Now, I tend to like the real feeling that this portrays, and I go with this most of the time. I usually try to utilize natural light that's filtered, not direct sunlight, but filtered through a cloud or just having right before the sun comes around my house in the morning to the back or starts to go down in the evening. There's just so much more that you can do by having that beautiful natural light. And I love that feeling of somebody being able to see that project as if they were just coming into my office and my studio and just hanging out with me and me saying, hey, look what I made today. And that's the feeling I want portrayed on my blog. Lastly, good editing software. There's just so much out there to pick from and choose from, but my recommendation is Photoshop Elements. I love the control and the ease of use that you can get through that program. And there's just so much that fun that you can have by creating the colors more realistically to match your cardstock, and some cameras just tend to really munch up your colors. So I hope those have answered some of your questions in regards to blogging. Thank you so much for your question, and have a great day. Bye.
I just want to say thanks to Melissa Phillips, Melissa Bickford, and Lisa Johnson for calling in with such great answers. I always learn stuff myself. This is almost it's a really fun job because I learn all sorts of interesting stuff. You never know what's going to happen when you get a message in your inbox. So just remember, our next podcast is March 11th. It's a Friday. That's going to be in the middle of the countdown, which is going to be, you know, as if there was not enough excitement, we're going to have another podcast. So make sure you call in with your questions. We have two things we're asking for this time, a question about giving honest feedback, and, of course, our call. call-in question and answer. We'd love to hear from you. And honestly, the more opinionated you are and the more off-the-wall questions you have, the better program we have. I welcome that. I relish that. So call in, please. All right, so thanks for sticking along with us. I hope you have a nice 2 weeks, and I'll catch you again on March 11th. See you later. Bye.